Hey guys, it's Jim Costa from Cash the Ticket. If you're planning on betting the NFL playoffs, buckle up. Betting football's hard enough as it is. We're doing the research for you, so listen to Cash the Ticket with Mike Valeni and I. We'll be dropping new episodes for every single playoff game. And that's going to be storylines leading into it, so some good football stuff, but also the betting nuggets you're looking for. Sides, totals, trends, player props, throw those in there too. Pre-game and post-game, we're going to be all over the postseason. Subscribe to Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Merry Christmas, Sean. I wish I could see you. I hear you dressed like Santa, but unfortunately, all I see is Anthony Gallo's name. So,
unfortunately,
Tiki, how are you, Tiki?
I'm doing great.
Did you get back? Night? You get back okay from Vegas?
Oh, it was a disaster. It was an absolute disaster because I flew to San Francisco because I wanted the lay down seat.
I wanted a lay down seat.
Yeah,
so I flew another hour and a half.
Yeah, exactly. Okay. But I also wanted to sleep longer. Because the flight from Las Vegas is only 4 hours, and I think it's less than 4 hours. And I wanted to sleep for like 5 hours, 5.5 hours. So I went to San Francisco. But I get to San Francisco, we sat on the runway for 45 minutes on a United flight. And so I missed my connection. Luckily, there happened to be another plane going to Newark right behind it, but it was like an hour later. So I ended up just hanging out in the airport for an hour.
Wow.
So, Joe,
God bless you, bro.
What Tiki experienced there was a literal loss by Jets, okay?
Yes. And this is something that I'm well-versed right. in for the last, 60-plus years.
Exactly. So let's start here. You went to the game? Did you stay?
No, you know what? My daughter and my wife talked me out of it.
Good.
They said, you're 71 years old. If it was a playoff game, if the game meant something, I would have went. But I can't.
Right.
I can't. I haven't been feeling great the last week or so. I mean, all right. But,
yeah.
I didn't want to. I'm not taking. I just saw what a great Ricky Henderson died of pneumonia, and he was 6 years younger than me. So I said, I've got to take it easy.
Right. And so how many hugs and kisses did you give your wife and daughter for talking you out of going to that disaster?
I didn't see my daughter yesterday, but she called. I gave my wife a number of hugs and kisses. There was no hugs and kisses for my football team, by the way.
No. And, Joe, look. I don't know how you felt. Tiki and I kind of both are aligned and feeling this way. That game yesterday felt a lot like Aaron Rodgers was trying to make everything about Devontae Adams eventually catching his 500th touchdown, and nobody else was allowed to be involved in that offense, and I think it kind of hurt him a little bit.
Well, look, I mean, they don't run the ball well to begin with.
Yeah.
Garrett Wilson, I mean, this idea that he's not getting any – I mean, he caught 6 passes yesterday. Devontae caught 7.
Right.
The guy's on his way to another 1,000-yard receiving year. I think he's got the 4th most targets in the league. So this idea – Sean, you know this well, okay? The media in this town, okay – and I'm all over the Jet writers because they want to get rid of everybody. They want to see Rodgers go. They want to see Adams go. They want to see Wilson go. They want the Jets to be garbage in perpetuity.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Chaos.
Because it's a better story for them. And I don't want to mention the names.
Yeah.
Okay?
But chaos is good for business, Joe. You're right.
And that's the bottom line, Tiki. They don't ever want to see them be good. And you know what? I'm sick and tired of it. You know how I feel. I want Rodgers back. I want Adams back. I want Wilson here. I want Mike Vrabel to be the head coach. He says he wants the job. Give him the Black Monday, everybody gets fired. Well, let's have it like the Pope is coming in, okay?
Let's get a little
white smoke, bro. You'll have the black smoke with your team. Let's have a little white smoke for my team, and let's get Vrabel in here. I don't give a damn who the general manager is. I really don't.
Well, Joe, if you've been a good boy, Santa might bring you Mike Vrabel under the tree, okay?
Well, here's what I need under the tree. I've already got a couple things under the tree, Sean. I got the biggest one we got already. You know what I'm talking about. Juan Soto as well, okay?
Okay,
and so I got those two. Very big, no doubt about it. Now I need Mike Vrabel. I got Sean Manaea. Now I need Pete Alonso. Let's go.
Okay.
Right. Well, he's kind of always, that's like a re-gift back to yourself type of thing.
Well, but still, I mean, I want Pete Alonso on my team. I want, if we're going to be good and we're going to be a World Series team at some point, and all I need is one, Sean. I'm not greedy.
No.
I need one.
And there's dwindling homes left for Pete Alonso right now. The Yankees got Goldschmidt, so maybe you will get that.
Well, they should. It should be done now. Uncle Stevie, let's go.
Right.
Let's get it done.
Spend the money.
Fans want them.
The price is going down every week that it
waits. That's right.
We talked about some of the things that went on in the Jets game, but are you upset with the loss at all?
Yeah, of course I am, because they should have won the game. First of all, They're moving the ball up and down the field.
Yeah.
And there was a couple of the fourth downs. The fourth down that they went for on their own 38-yard line or whatever it was, I didn't have a problem with it. Mm-hmm. They just got a big interception. They had the momentum. The play call, you knew he wasn't getting the first
right,
down.
Right.
They ran right in the middle of the line with Breece Hall. Let Rodgers throw the ball.
Right.
He hit a couple fourth downs throwing the football. Let him do that. Now, the fourth down that I went nuts about, and to me, this really, to me, cost them the game as much as anything. You have this long drive to start the second half. You get all the way down in the red zone. It's fourth and four. You got to kick, and I know the field goal kick is terrible,
right,
but you got to kick the field goal.
Get the points.
You have to. You got to take a 6-point lead there. What are you doing? What is he doing, this guy?
So Joe, you know, obviously, I was calling the.
Yeah, you. I know you're in.
I rewatched this.
Right.
The number of plays that the Jets ran from the end of the second quarter to the whatever, basically the middle of the third quarter, because they had the ball for so long.
Yep.
They didn't get anything out of it.
Yeah, they got a field goal at the end of the half.
Right. That was it.
He should have kicked the field goal there in that opening drive.
Yeah.
It would have been a different game. You know, they would have been ahead 12-6. Who knows?
Right.
Who knows how it plays out?
Yeah, then the Rams call it differently. Maybe the Rams start taking more risk, and then maybe they make the mistakes as opposed to the Jets making them.
And Teak, the penalties. I mean, only my team can get back-to-back illegal men downfield penalties. Come on.
Joe, that's not true, by the way. My team could get those, too. Believe me.
That's true.
Right.
That's
or
true.
The Raiders in the game I called. They had back-to-back and
illegal shifts?
No, defensive offsides. Lined up offsides, back-to-back.
And they won the game.
And they somehow won the game.
Big win for you, Sean, by the way. I mean, you get into that number one. Can I ask, Sean, do you watch your dear Sanders or not?
I do, but I'm also at this spot now, Joe. I am not anti either Sanders or Ward, so it's going to be very hard for me to be unhappy.
Okay. Yeah, no, I get it. Either one. I mean, I really don't know. Look, I've seen a lot of both of them. I like them both. I don't know who's
better. Joe, here's the deal. I just want to be excited again.
Right.
And to me, I'm not worried about the quarterback being a bust. When he's a bust, he's a bust. I want to just feel rejuvenated as a franchise again here.
Are these guys out? Are Shane and Dable out?
Yesterday's a tough one to defend for me.
Yeah, it's a tough one.
It's one thing to lose the game 34-7 with two pick sixes and you don't sit Drew Lock at any point.
The problem is, yo, they're getting blown out. Like, there's a lot of bad teams.
Yeah.
Like,
a
whole lot of them. But they're losing by, like, the Jacksonville Jaguars. We keep having them. They're all these one-score losses.
Right.
Yeah.
Right?
Indy,
the same way. One-score losses. Giants, they've been blown out three times since the bye week.
Yeah.
And five in the season. And so it's just, that's not competitive. And when you're not putting competitive ball out there, something's wrong.
Now, Joe, let me ask you, because you just asked me about Sanders and Ward. It comes out after the whole shuffle of yesterday. Mm-hmm. Had the Jets lost to the Jaguars, the Jets right now would be picking second overall with the tiebreak.
I don't care.
Yeah. So you would rather be where you are now than be second up there with the Giants and the other quarterback.
I have said this forever. It's not where you pick. It's who you pick.
Yes,
that's true.
Okay? I could care less about the second pick in the draft. Yeah, okay, maybe they'd get one of these quarterbacks and they could develop them. And
you want Aaron, so you're fine.
So what? But you know what? So I don't want this guy to play. If I got Cam Ward or Shadeer Sanders next year, I want to sit him. I want to let Rodgers play. I'm done with that. I'm done with that, Teak. I've seen it with every guy we brought in here, whether it was Sanchez, whether it was Donald.
Geno.
Did it with Geno. We go right on down the line. Did it with Zach Wilson. No.
Right. The only success you had was Fitzpatrick, who was a vet.
Right. Well, yeah, but I'm talking about
coming out of the draft.
You
want to do the Jordan Love thing with the Packers.
Absolutely.
I don't blame you that for all. All right.
Absolutely.
Forget about the football for a second. You wake up today under your tree. Sean Bonai is back. Thoughts?
Yeah. Thank God. I mean, look at these stiffs that we brought in. Frankie Montas. I mean, come on. Are you kidding me?
I don't know if you heard. Joe, Loogie thinks Clay Holmes is going to be better than Max Fried.
I don't know. is he going to be a relief pitcher or a starter?
Starter. He thinks he's a better starter.
Well, I mean, I don't know if he's going to be better than Max Fried. And they brought in this other guy with a 5-something ERA from the Angels. Who's this guy? Fanning?
Griffin Canning.
Fanning. He stinks. Yeah, we know that. So, I mean, what's
not Dakota Fanning.
Yeah. So, I mean, she could probably pitch better.
Right.
But anyway. Anyway, Manaea, I'm thrilled with Manaea. Now I want Pete. You know, you get me Pete, and now I'm good.
Yeah.
What the Mets have done.
Right, but the thing is with the Canning guy and bringing back
Montas.
Or not bringing back, but bringing back Manaea and then getting Montas. They believe in the pitching lab, right?
Yeah.
They believe in Jeremy Hefner. Now, I guess this will prove it. I think that Seve was interesting because he just had a confidence thing. It was more mental to me with him.
I love the signing of Seve.
Yeah, I agree. But we knew it was all mental because last year he was like, I don't even know what's wrong with me. I suck. I stink. I'm terrible. He got that out of his mind. He came back. He's a pretty good pitcher, which everybody kind of expected he was going to be. Manaea had a bounce back year last year. And so some of it could be the pitching coach.
Maybe. I mean, let's look. I mean, if he can do wonders with Frankie Montas and what is his name? Channing. Okay, if he can do wonders with those guys and he can make Clay Holmes into a legitimate starting pitcher, then God bless him.
But those are three big ifs, Joe.
Yeah.
Very big ifs.
Are you comfortable with the rotation now where it stands at to bring it back Manaea? You still want something else?
Yeah. I mean, I look at it right now. Senga and Manaea, to me, I feel good about, obviously. Senga hopefully is going to be healthy. I mean, outside of that, you know, his Quintana's gone, right? He's not still on the team.
Right.
You know, so. You know, not great. Not great.
So let's get to the Jets for a couple of minutes here, because as we kind of talked about when Pat was in here, the Jets are mesmerizingly
bad.
Brutal. I don't even know how else to put it watching this game yesterday, because there are times where it is clicking. And here's what I would say. When Aaron Rodgers has time to throw the ball, and he's been more mobile for sure the last few weeks. So I'm not sitting here saying he's a statue by any stretch. He hasn't been the last month. But, boy, when he's got time to look over the defense, he can still pick you apart better than anybody I've seen. He can give you the fake down the field, check it down, and it's not one of those random checkdowns for 2 yards because it looks like he wants to go deep. It looks like guys are retreating, and these checkdowns go for 8, 9, 10 yards.
Mm-hmm.
The run game, not so great yesterday, but the way that 99-yard drive was a thing of beauty. They had there was at one point, I think each team only had the ball, one time in the second quarter? I mean, it was ridiculous watching these two offenses, but at the end of the day, you're left with
9 points.
9 points.
Yep.
And you're left with another, I think it's the sixth time this year they've gone to the fourth quarter with the lead and lost. And these were the things that I thought would not happen with him at quarterback. And while I'm saying all of this, because clearly they're not in the tank and they are trying to win games and they're not going to have the number one pick, which we know. If you don't bring them back, which we know would be just for one more year anyway, the idea that you're going to get a bridge quarterback, well, isn't that what he kind of is with the opportunity to still actually win games? Or are you, in your mind, is it so far gone, let's just move on?
I mean, financially, with the way the cap hits work and everything, I understand where it's like, well, we might as well just bring him back because the alternative is not all that great. My concern is, look, what we hear from him into a microphone in these post-game press conferences or on the McAfee show, I get the sense it's not the real Aaron Rodgers. That's my gut take on it. And look, things obviously ended badly in Green Bay. He's been here a couple years now, and this was the first season we really got to see him play. And yeah, there's still some ability there, but I see other aspects of the team that should be better that are not. Specific players on offense that should be not as frustrated as they are, and they are.
Mm-hmm. By the way, I'll also add to the defense, and I know they only give up 19 points. There have been games they haven't given up 30. The defense in big spots has come up really small.
You know what? I'm not even going to relate that to Rodgers, because that's something we could say about the Jet defense for the better part of the last decade, where, well, if they just had the quarterback, but then when they get put for into a spot where the game's on the line and they need to stop, they seemingly can't get one. So that's a separate issue. But I talked to somebody last week who would know, and I don't think Aaron Rodgers is very well liked in that locker room.
That's interesting.
So, and again, this is not me trying to break any news or anything like that. It's just my perspective. And quite honestly, it doesn't really surprise me, because we know he's a tricky, complex individual, right?
And like, very deep. I watched the documentary.
Sure,
he's a very deep thinker.
But yeah, okay, fine. So maybe that it doesn't rub everyone the right way. Hey, maybe the Jets need more of that. But when I just look at their entire situation, from the owner and everything that's going on with him, his relationship with the quarterback, the quarterback's age, the stage of his career, how he fits in with the other players, Davante Adams and Alan Lazard aside. And then I'm talking about, we're bringing in a new general manager, a new head coach. Like,
that all plays into it too, though.
There are so many, landmines to evade there.
Yes. So yes and no.
I can see this year turned into a disaster. Obviously,
but it depends on who you bring in.
Well, that's. But I want to be able to bring in the best candidate,
I just wonder
if they're going to be able to do that when you have a Type A personality, future Hall of Famer at the end of his career, who's going to be the holdover quarterback here in a year where, you know, last year was where we got to cut out the BS and the leaks and all that. Now it's, you know, we heard the cut from Pat. Well, these last couple of weeks, we see who wants in and who wants out. Like, he speaks as if he's up on this pedestal. And for his career, sure, he is.
Not here, though.
But he's just as much to blame as anybody for everything that has gone wrong with this team. Like, it blows my mind that these last couple of weeks, wow, he looks good now. Like, the way he's played these last couple of weeks, you got to bring him back. Yeah, great. Two games down in Florida where the weather was nice against, you know, crappy teams in December. And yesterday, like, we're drooling over him and Devontae Adams because they had one nice drive and scored 9 points. Like, why is that inspiring any sort of confidence for me?
So here would be my question, and this is where I grapple with the idea.
I understand. Who do you want to go to?
Yeah. Are you willing to, and I guess they've waited long enough, why the hell not? But if you get rid of him, and they very well might, I have no idea. If you get rid of him, what are you doing at that spot? And again, who's the coach? So to me, if you're going to bring in a young head coach, again, I don't think he can be the quarterback. If I'm just throwing the name out there like many people have, including Boomer and Geo, if it was a guy like John Gruden, I think he would be the guy, because I think a guy like Gruden, and he would connect quite well. Mm-hmm. And now all of a sudden, now we're going to come back to upside, downside. The upside is still pretty good. The downside is what it's been for 1 year. And then you start the rebuild.
Yeah.
But at least you take the shot with the veteran coach. You bring in a young coach, I don't know that that works. Clearly.
That's my concern. And that's why I think the Jet fan and people that are looking at their situation, and I know Boomer and Gio have talked about it, Gio specifically, feel like it's got to be somebody with a resume, with a track record, some personality.
Absolutely.
Some type A in him himself. Like, I like, you know, the Gruden idea is an interesting one, but like, is there any evidence to suggest that those two could coexist?
I have no idea.
Like, that's what,
I don't know.
Easy to throw the names out there. And the other guy that, to me, I mean, the Gruden idea is interesting. Like, and I don't know that Mike Vrabel wants any part of coming to the Jets, but like, that's a guy that, to me.
And I think Vrabel could work with him.
Could
for
he though?
Yeah, I do.
Do you think because he'd want to? Vrabel, you think he'd say, hey, of all my options, and he will have options. He's too good of a coach to not have options.
Here's the conversation. We have Aaron Rodgers for next year, and then we've got to go in a different direction. You got 1 year to take a shot before we start the rebuild.
Mm.
To me, that's not a bad scenario to be in.
Yeah, and look, the idea that Vrabel's a defensive guy, so, you know, maybe, hey, Aaron, you do your own thing. But, like, even that's been awkward, right? The Nathaniel Hackett situation got awkward, and now you got Todd Downing. That's what I mean. And look, I'll go back to the first thing out of my mouth when you tossed it over to me on this. I recognize that they've put themselves in a situation where salary cap financially, like, damned if they do, damned if they don't. Right, there's going to be a hit either way, and it's actually, Fleeks, correct me if I'm wrong, it's worse if they move on from him. Yes, right. The cap hit's worse if they decide
worse in 2025, but they would be done with all of the money sooner.
You take the hit and you get it out of the way.
And remember, and you still got to pay another quarterback. Like you could truly be looking at. And I know it's easy to say it now because they're 4-11, but we didn't think that before the season began.
I didn't think 4-11. I also, and this is not me patting myself on the back because we all have hits and misses. The idea that they were going to make a run to the Super Bowl or even the AFC.
I'm right there. I thought so.
I thought it was crazy talk.
I thought all those games that they've lost in the fourth quarter are games that they would have won because of him. You know, I mean,
he hasn't been great.
The Patriot one is the worst one. And that one, you know, I mean, we could talk about that and we did forever and ever. But, you know, the Bronco game, the Patriot game, the Dolphin game, even though he did play well yesterday, was another example. The Colt game. I mean, these are all games that I never in my wildest dreams would have thought that they would have lost with him at quarterback. And I will tell you, too, I'd love for you, before this little thing is over in the next week and a half, watch the documentary. Because I went into it, and I only did it, I'm not even joking, because I had time to kill. I wasn't interested in him. I've had enough of him. The McAfee
let's
stuff.
Let's bring him back.
Well, the McAfee stuff to me is ridiculous. All of this stuff. But I will tell you, watching the documentary, I walked away from it like, is it the same guy? I love the guy.
Listen.
Because he seems like he's all about football and winning.
I think he's a fascinating individual.
He's interesting.
I have great respect for his career. He thinks outside the box. You know, he beats to his own drum. I mean, look, he has his critiques and people that don't like him. I'm not even talking about the off the field stuff. But like, it just, they put all their chips in at the center of the table, all their eggs in this basket. It didn't work. And the idea now that we're talking about running it back for the same, essentially the same situation. And look, him and Davante Adams, it's a great connection. It's a great friendship. It's a great relationship. How's the impact on Garrett Wilson been there?
Not great.
So
do you take any stock?
You're going to placate the Rodgers-Adams connection for another year at the expense of your young, emerging wide receiver?
Well, it's the bed you made.
And that's my issue.
And I think
that's my issue.
I don't know that laying it for one more year is the worst option when you factor in everything with the money and the salary cap and needing another quarterback and where they're at. I mean, it's almost like you made a deal with the devil and now you've got to see it through.
Everything we said about the Giants offense, there's nothing there. It's Malik Nabers and what? The Jets aren't that. They're littered with talent on offense, yet they can't score points and win games.
Yeah.
Like, that's a problem.
I agree.
I'm sorry.
They're one of the worst offensive teams in terms of scoring points that I've seen all season.
It doesn't make any sense. And you got frustrated Garrett Wilson. You've had frustrated at times Breece Hall, banged up as well. I mean, if we got to sit and watch Alan Lazard next year drop more passes because Aaron Rodgers is here, I might blow my head off.
He dropped two. Like,
it's enough already, man. A little more from Aaron Rodgers with McAfee yesterday and potentially coexisting with a young quarterback in Florham Park next season.
I know what it was like to be a first-round pick and to be in a room with a Hall of Famer, and I tried to help Jordan as much as possible. And if there's a situation where the new staff came in and wanted me to be there, also wanted to make a pick for the future and pick a quarterback if there was one there they really liked, then yeah, of course.
Feels like maybe not the year for that to happen, considering where they're probably going to be picking.
I would agree with that.
Yeah, and he references Jordan there, meaning Jordan Love. They do have Jordan Travis, who they took. Mm-hmm. Fleeks was that fifth or sixth round this year, if you can refresh my memory on that real quick.
And I think fifth, yeah. But I'm not positive.
And right. Jordan Love did vouch for that, too, all the help he gave him.
Yeah,
that it was a very good relationship, and
when they were together, they were both transparent about their relationship. Yep. There was never anything toxic. I thought what's interesting about that little clip is when Aaron mentions the new staff wanting him to be there, and it almost feels like he needs some type of want, like he wants to be loved from the new staff.
Sure,
and which is for a guy as established as he is, I don't know if that I wouldn't think that would matter. Like I'm Aaron Rodgers. A healthy Aaron Rodgers, you know what I can do. But it feels like he still needs to be courted a little bit.
That could be the case. It also could be, do they want him from the standpoint of, do you think it would be easy for a young coordinator if that's the route they went? And I don't know that's where they're going.
Whoever the play caller is probably as important as the head coach.
No, but I'm saying if they hired a young coordinator to be their new head coach,
okay,
to have the Hall of Fame quarterback on your roster on his way out, or as opposed to a guy like Gruden who comes in as a big personality that can handle that.
Fair. I understand.
That's why I think it matters who they hire.
Yeah, they can't get somebody who's new to the job, right? Like meeting an Aaron Glenn or a Ben Johnson. You know, they have to get somebody who's seasoned and understands what this market and what it means to be able to coach in this market with this type of team if Aaron Rodgers comes back with that type
You're
of quarterback.
You're convinced they're going to go that route?
Yeah, you can't get a new guy. Like I think it's too daunting of a job. Mm-hmm. There's too much to fix and revamp for to put a young guy in here to be like, all right, I'm gonna get this team back on track. You have to come with some type of resume to be able to try to change this thing around.
So that sounds like to me Vrabel or Gruden.
Okay, that's I mean, they're qualified for sure, 100%.
I don't know how many other candidates would jump out.
Yeah, I think it's a shorter list if you're looking
for.
Could you imagine a young coach stepping in here trying to?
No, but it seems to be
to start a new culture.
Seems to be the trend.
Well, they tried it with Saleh.
They tried it a number.
No,
I know. Gase technically wasn't,
but most recently
Bowles.
It's fresh. It just
I know, and didn't work.
I think this is just a different dog. You know, this is a different city. We watch the pre and post to what coaches say and how they go about their business, mm-hmm. and especially how they operate on Sundays. It's just a different limelight.
By the way, I said Vrabel or Gruden, and then Rex is in that mix too.
Right. Rex, of course.
Do we really believe that that's possible?
Yes.
I do.
I do too.
Yeah, I do. Have you seen what's going on around there?
If
anything's possible.
If you're, I mean, for Christ's sakes, if you're going to bring back Mike Tannenbaum, right, and to kind of orchestrate the new jam, you telling me they're going to scoff at Rex?
That would be hilarious if that's his official recommendation. We brought Tannenbaum back for him to say this.
Right.
Which may be the case. Who knows?
One other one from Rogers talking again about the leaks and all that goes on around the Jets, which he's obviously had a front row seat for, especially this season thus far.
Nothing is surprising at this point. There's some interesting things that go on at every organization, some that would like to be left uncovered. But it seems like here, those don't always get left uncovered.
And I believe the question that led him into that was about how often it happens here as opposed to different places. And that was, again, from one of the, it wasn't McAfee or A.J. Hawk. It was one of the other guys, I think, that asked the question. It was something along the lines of, you know, how often this stuff is happening. And then he went into, which I thought was very interesting. He talked about, this was McAfee, who went into the whole notion of, it's one thing to have anonymous sources when we're talking about real life and real world issues when you need to find stuff out. Because this is sports. Because the idea that we're writing articles and you're anonymous, like, stand up and, as Herm Edwards would say, put your name on it.
They're not going to.
If you have this opinion or you want to tell this story, then write the story, but source it.
You got people working inside the building that are ripping the owner. I mean,
but
they
also,
can't put
this isn't new, right? This has been a part of sports media forever.
100%. No, absolutely. Yeah. But that notion's been out there. Like, this is sports. If you're going to write a story and you're going to say these things or give this information, well, then source it. Who was it?
But I also think these anonymous sources, I think it's all BS. I think it's their opinion hiding behind this came from an anonymous source. Because if you do put your name on it in your face, now you're in the pot, right?
Well, sure. That's the point.
And people lose their jobs when falsified things are put out there, especially by the organization you cover day in and day out. So would you rather hide behind, you know, the screen or put yourself out there and it could cost you everything?
We're living in a world right now where everyone hides behind a screen.
Facts.
I'm gonna put you on the spot. When you were with the Jets and there was plenty of crazy things that went down, I don't have to name names, but did you ever know or sense or believe you had guys within your locker room that were leaking things to the local media?
No, I hated that, right? Because I that was when I got to the Jets in 13, I thought that was one of the things I didn't like about the New York Jets. Because when I was in Pittsburgh, we didn't have Valley. We were winning. We were a different team, different organization. So I acknowledge all that. But I've said this before, so there's nothing new I'm about to say. I hated how much attention we gave the media. Meaning when, you know, Wednesdays is a day for installment. When you talk about who you're about to play in XYZ, I remember Rex sometimes would, outside of talking about who we're about to play and how to prepare, would have maybe a 25, I guess, dissertation about how to handle media and what we're going to say and what we're not going to say to avoid headlines, pretty much. And I was just like, who cares? Like, they don't matter. And it was me being here, playing here, like, oh, the media does matter. Like, this is actually a thing. Like, they actually have an identity within our locker room. And I was just like, why? You know what I mean? And so that was very, I didn't like that. I didn't like that we even acknowledged it. I didn't like that we even acknowledged them. Like, the beat writers, the media, that's okay, that's what it is, right? But we got to go play ball. We got to go do our job. That's the only thing that shouldn't matter. But they had a place. And it seems to have a place in the New York Jets culture. And I was very frustrated with that. And so when you talk about bringing on a new head coach, you know, is it going to be a guy, hey, the media's media, say less is always the Belichick approach, let's go that way? Or do you have to now prep these young guys like, all right, this is what we are and what they're a part of. This is what you said. Like, you have to go through a class how to talk to the media if you're on the New York Jets, which is like, what?
It was foreign to you.
Yeah, it was foreign. I didn't understand it. So, yeah.
Talk about your favorite teams on The Fan. Call 888-808-1019. Anytime. Powered by Paramount Plus. Stream every NFL on CBS playoff game. Live on Paramount Plus.
All right,
11:04 on this Monday midday. Mark Melusis in for BT and Sal. Alex Dove across the way, rolling right up until 2 o'clock this afternoon. Number to call, you know it, 888-808-1019. So we start off with the Giants, and then you get to the Jets, yet another loss. Again, outscored 13-0 by the Rams yesterday in chilly MetLife Stadium. Lose the game 19-9. We can get into this mismanagement of the coaching staff and how this team is poorly coached, all of it. And it's all rightfully so. Garrett Wilson being bothered after the game about his, you know, lack of targets or catches, as he had, you know, 7 targets on the afternoon, 6 catches for 54 yards, but obviously 13 targets for Devontae Adams, and that's where Aaron Rodgers is going to look. He's going to look to his best friend, the guy that he had great chemistry with the Green Bay Packers. But still, I mean, the Jets. You know, it's just amazing when you look at it. Now, the Jets came into this year with expectations, right? And, you know, we all thought, myself included, I mean, I can't believe one of the more embarrassing takes or predictions I've ever had was I thought the Jets were going to go out there and win the Super Bowl this year. I mean, which was terrible. And here we are, and the Jets have been a rudderless ship, eliminated. They're 4-11. Woody's firing everybody, including the ball boy, left and right to try and spark this team and get the best out of this team. And then we get the revelations that we see from, you know, the pieces by Zach Rosenblatt, Diana Rossini, and others in The Athletic. You know, the two pieces over the course of this season, the one piece after last year. And, I mean, it's just a mess. It just is. And that's the problem. Like, the problem and what you want to, as you wake up, and we're a couple days away from Christmas, and you're a big-time Jet fan. And, you know, you open up the gifts. Go under the Christmas tree. The one thing you would want to have is Woody to get humbled. That's it. I mean, Woody to see the light of day. Woody to realize that he's not a football man. Woody to tell his sons that, thanks but no thanks, I don't need the latest Madden ratings. Woody to go out there and tell yourself, well, you know what? You know, it hasn't been great the last 25 years. However long it lasts, however long I'm walking God's green earth, let's try and make this great here moving forward. Let's do something a little bit different because what we're doing is not working. Until that moment happens, nothing will change. And you didn't need the week, you didn't need the report last week out of The Athletic, even though it was humorous and, you know, get the popcorn out. I mean, unbelievable, you know, movie theater butter, Orville Redenbacher, all that kind of stuff. And sit down, relax, read the piece in The Athletic, and you say to yourself, oh my God, this is amazing. I mean, it's great stuff. It's almost you say to yourself, no, they can't be that inept, or yes, they can be. Like, they can't be that lost, or yes, they can be. And believe me, like, I'm not around the team on a day-in, day-out basis, but you talk to people that are around the Jets. And, you know, I had heard about the Suns and their influence. I had heard about Woody's, you know, cutting back during the course of last offseason, what he did to the assistant general manager, how he didn't have, you know, officials out at training camp throughout the course of the summer outside of the joint practices on 2 occasions that the Jets had, you know, and yet coaches going out there and calling penalties, you know, that Woody was getting more and more involved, all these things that you hear and you say to yourself, oh my God, like, how bad is it going to be? And it's really, really bad. You know, and it's multi, like, you look at it and you say to yourself, well, what would lead you to believe? Like, as we talk, and this is unfortunately where we are in the state of football here in New York, where, you know, you're having arguments one way or the other about whether or not the Giants co-owner coming off of, you know, John Mara should stay the course with Daboll and Shane, even though this team has lost a, you know, historic 10 straight games and they're 2-13 on the season. And then you look at, you say to yourself, well, maybe it's better in Florham Park. No, they're 4-11. They had expectations. They're a talented team, yet they still lose. And you have an owner who, you know, and you have an owner who won't get out of his own way. Winning in the National Football League is very, very difficult. It is. They love parity. They want it to be a league in which you can go from worst to first in any given year. You know, the salary cap, all those things. A quarterback can change everything. We're watching that and witnessing it down in Washington. And the cultural shift that they've had with the Washington Commanders. New ownership, Josh Harris and his ownership group, obviously Quinn and everything. But look at what Jaden Daniels has meant to the Washington Commanders. Coming off the, you know, the Cam Andrews yesterday turned the ball over five times. Daniels throws five touchdown passes to come from behind victory at home in a crazy game against the Philadelphia Eagles. So the quarterback can obviously change everything. And the Jets thought they had their quarterback in place when you're looking at Aaron Rodgers, for sure, right? And, you know, year number one, four plays in, done for the year with the torn Achilles. And year number two, it's, you know, he's stayed on the field. He's played hurt. He's played banged up. He hasn't been terribly bad. I mean, Rodgers, you look at the stretch of games, you know, he's played, as you know, well at times. But still, in the end, the Jets lose. And they lose for their poorly coached team. You know, that can't be hammered home. They regressed after the firing of Robert Saleh. And we do know this, is that, you know, the owner is running wild within the, and can do that because he owns the team. But the owner, Woody Johnson, is running wild with some of the things that he does. And he gets in the way. So the biggest thing that you need to have, as the Jets go out there and interview Thomas Dimitroff, and, you know, they hire Tannenbaum's 33rd team, and they do all these things to try and find their next GM, the right answer, the great answer, all of those things. As we had discussed with the Giants, and say to yourself, all right, well, if we're going to look at it from the big picture, and blame goes all the way around for the Giants losing, you're going to look at the general manager for the roster that was cut, lack of talent, maybe too young, too inexperienced at times, but what is the head coach doing with that roster? Like, what is he doing? Like, how is this Giant team getting better week in, week out? When you look at the Jets, it's this. And it's a simple answer, simple question. Will Woody get out of the way? Will Woody get out of the way? Because we can look at this Jet job and say, well, it's appealing. It is, because it's a rarity. After all, I mean, Bill Belichick went out there and ripped the Jets to the refrigerator light, but there he was calling Mike Tannenbaum before he took the North Carolina job. By the way, enjoy the ACC, Bill. Enjoy NIL deals and enjoy that. But Bill Belichick was going out there calling the Jets to try and get a head coaching job in the NFL because, you know what, he realized that he wasn't going to get the Cowboys job. He wasn't going to get the Jacksonville Jaguars job. So let me reach out to the Jets. They might be desperate enough, even though he despises Woody and the Jets. So the attractiveness angle is an interesting conversation to have of just how attractive the Jets job is. Well, anybody that's gotten a taste of one of these jobs, whether it be a head coach or whether it be a general manager, is going to be interested because they want back in. Anybody that hasn't is going to want a taste of it as well. So these jobs will remain attractive even though the owner doesn't get out of the way, but nothing will change with the Jets until the owner gets out of the way. Like, that's it. You hire football people to go out there and do their jobs. If they don't do them properly, you go out and you make changes. But to be walking around and thinking that you know football and having your sons influence this organization to whatever degree it might be, the idea that it's there shows you the dysfunction within the Jets. Like, you could debate it. And you could say, well, it's a hit job by The Athletic, or they're not really that influential. They should not be influential at all. That's the point. Sit back, relax, and enjoy the fact that you're the son of Woody Johnson. And that's the dysfunction of the Jets. And then you get to Rodgers, and people want to say, well, you know, what do you do with Rodgers? Well, let's move on. Let's find somebody else. Go out there and get our quarterback of the future, all of those things. And I'm not going to tell you that Rodgers is the best guy around. You know, I saw the, you know, Dan Graziano, who I love, I mean, does a great job talking about the fact that he's a narcissist, all these things that we have seen, right? All of that. You know, I'll be blunt here. Could the Jets conceivably win with Aaron Rodgers next year? Conceivably, they can. If they put the right people in place, the right general manager, the right head coach, the right coaching staff, built it around to where you protect the quarterback, could you still see? Is he the same quarterback, Rodgers, that is, that he was 5, 6, 7 years ago? No. I'd be an idiot to come on these airwaves and tell you that he is. He is not that caliber of quarterback, but is he an option? Yeah, he should still be an option. It's not crazy to think that you could roll it back with Aaron Rodgers and think if you put the right people in place. Now, we're going on the assumption the Jets hire the right people And if you want to say to yourself or say to me, listen, Mark, they won't, and it'll be an unmitigated disaster because the Jets are going to jet. Well, you have every right to believe that because the Jets have not made the playoffs since 2010. And it's more of a comedy of errors than anything else. But Rodgers has looked a lot healthier as of late. Now, yesterday's second half, was it frustrating? Special teams once again being a failure. Was this all on Aaron Rodgers yesterday? No. If you're Garrett Wilson, you have the right to voice your frustration for sure. Could the Jets have run it a little bit more? No doubt. I mean, you listen to McVay after the game saying to yourself, wow, you know, I'd love to have a coach like that. Yeah, no doubt. I mean, but try. Good luck trying to find the next Sean McVay in the National Football League. You will spend years, if not decades, trying to find that guy because he is a rarity. But when he talked about the fact that we would be set to play a cold weather game because we were know we were going to be able to run it with Kyren Williams, and he is not wrong, and he was right. The Jets are not without talent and ability. It's a different conversation when we look at the Giants. And that's why a lot of people look at Shane needs to go. You look at the roster that was cut. You look at what the head coach is doing with said roster and you say, well, he's not doing enough. He needs to go need a new vision. We're not just a quarterback away. For the Jets is, well, yeah, there were some bad personnel decisions, inability to stop the run. This is not a team without talent and ability. They have been so poorly coached. The owner getting involved to the level that he does is alarming. And if that doesn't stop, just as we all witnessed it through the years as a longtime Knicks fan, well, you saw what James Dolan was doing with the New York Knicks at Madison Square Garden, the results will remain the same. Disappointing. The Knicks have turned a corner because James Dolan finally looked in the mirror and said, you know what, I'm the blame. I'm going to hire a guy, I'm going to get out of the way, and I'm going to enjoy being the owner of the New York Knicks. Until that happens with Woody Johnson, the results are going to remain the same. The fish stinks from the head down. No truer statement. It absolutely does. Culture within the organization, culture within the building needs to change. You want to bring the right people aboard, you have to give them. It's not power. It's the ability to instill their culture. That's what the great coaches want. That's what the great coaches do. And until you able bring in the right person to do that, nothing will change. Is there a pathway to bring Rodgers back? For sure. Does it have to be under the right circumstances? No question about it. 888-808-1019. That is your number to call. Coming to you from, I want to thank our friends at Town Fair Tire. They remind you that at Town Fair Tire, you always get the guaranteed lowest price on name brand tires you trust from Connecticut to Maine. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire, and I mean nobody. Let's head out to Hoboken. It's Dan. It's the fam. What's going on, Dan?
What's happening, Moose? Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas, Danny.
Hey, a couple giant points. You know, I don't know if you're really crazy about any of these quarterbacks for the Giants, but I don't know. Like, I'm just thinking with Ward and Sanders, I mean, they're really not doing it much for me. And you know what? If they wind up picking one of these guys and, you know, it's a bust again, you kind of, you know, set the franchise back, what, 3, 4, 5 more years? I mean, it's really a tough choice at this point, huh?
Well, it is. I mean, Dan, I think they're both different. I mean, Shedeur Sanders, from the people I talk to, he's not an elite-level athlete. But what he is highly accurate and showed remarkable toughness and leadership qualities at Colorado. Didn't play behind a great offensive line. When you look at Cam Ward entered the draft last year when he was leaving Washington State, was not going to be the number one overall draft choice. Obviously entered the transfer portal, went to Miami, got paid, all those things. Ward has a 3-quarter arm delivery, has got an unbelievable arm and athleticism, a better athlete than Shedeur Sanders. And a lot of people think that if all things being equal, probably a little bit of a higher ceiling as compared to Shedeur Sanders, to some that scout college quarterbacks. So, you know, that's where we stand. Is this quarterback class, you know, do you have the same opinion as this quarterback class as you did a year ago? Probably not. I wouldn't say that. But then it's not a matter of just developing the quarterback or drafting the quarterback or drafting the right one, but then it's having the game plan for that quarterback as well. Like, that's the other aspect of the Giants.
Hey, As far as Daboll, you know what? Like, I'm kind of resigned to the fact that, you know, they probably should just keep him. But I really have to say, if, you know, they bring one of these young quarterbacks in and he really needs to focus and be the quarterback guru that everybody says he is, I really think they need to bring an OC in here because, you know what? I think his play calling this year was awful.
Yeah, Danny, I would want Brian Daboll to be the head coach of the team. That's what I would want. And I understand there's some guys that still remain play callers. I think for Brian Daboll, he's better served being the head coach of the entire team and not being focused on being the offensive play caller. So I would agree with you there.
Janae Coakley from SNY joins us. I know you know Chris. Nice to talk to you, Janae. Thanks for calling. How are you?
Good. How are you guys doing? Happy holidays.
And you as well. So I know you're heading to the facility now. I'm going to start with this question, and that is, when a team is having the type of season they are having, how difficult is your job? Especially, I just mentioned the interviews off the field. Like, that is not an easy situation, and I know you get well received by the guys, but how difficult is the job when the season's going the way it's going?
I mean, not fun.
Yeah.
But I can tell you this, after this is my 15th season, I've gotten pretty good at it. I always joke with people that, hey, it's easy to interview the players after they win. It's when they lose, it's the hard part. So I've gotten real good at that skill. But I always give the guys the credit because, like I just said, it's easy to talk when they win. And they've got a good group of guys that always come out. They always, you know, talk after. I always make it a point, though, for when they do win, that I talk to the Jamie and Sherwoods, the C.J. Mosleys, the Quincy Williams, the Tyler Conklins, the guys that always talk when they lose.
Janae, you just mentioned 15 years in now, so that means if everyone does the math, you started right around the time things were going well with Rex and company and, you know, making the playoff runs, but obviously you've been through quite a few years now of things not going so great. So because of this season and all the expectations and Aaron Rodgers' presence and people thinking they were going to, at minimum, go back to the playoffs, how do you stack this one up against some of the other disappointments that you've had to unfortunately be around over the course of the last 10 or 15 years?
Well, see, it's funny because, like you said, my first year was the second AFC championship game with Rex Ryan. And before that, I was with Indianapolis. And the worst season I ever covered was a 10-6 season, and they ended up winning the Super Bowl that year. So I'm like, oh, wow, this is how this works. Is NFL 5 years in, we go to the playoffs, we win Super Bowl. This is great. I haven't been to the playoffs since. But I haven't covered a playoff since. I would say this is the worst one of all, because there, like you said, there's so much hype and there's so much talent on this team. I mean, you have the Garrett Wilson, the Breece Hall, Sauce. I mean, down the line, both sides of the ball, like, there was a lot of talent and so much hype. And to be honest with you, I still can't put my finger on why they haven't been more successful.
Yeah.
So I feel like this has been the reason, because before, like, some teams overachieved. And not even thinking that they underachieved, because they have the talent, they work hard. I just don't know why it can't be put together.
You know, that to me is, I think exactly what you just said is the most confusing part, because, you know, some teams like the Giants, they've been injury prone and also talent wise, not so much. But this team does have the talent. And I know you don't get to watch practice. I'm well aware how that works. You get to watch those 15 minutes or so, but you are around the guys enough, in the locker room and at games and stuff like that. Do you get the sense that it's a cohesive group? Like from the outside looking in, they seem fine to me. They just don't seem to execute. Or is there a bigger problem there? What do you see from where you're at?
No, these guys they all get along great. I mean, it's a cohesive group. I mean, the defense really loves each other. I mean, so same with the offense. I just think, like, for some reason, it just isn't clicking, or didn't click. I mean, the gig's up now. You have two games left. I don't know what it was. I really can't. I think that's been the biggest problem. Okay, they get rid of Coach Sala, and then that's going to fix the problem. Well, that doesn't fix the problem at all. In fact, it probably got worse. But Jeff Albert, the guys love Jeff Albert. He's such a great guy. And you would think, you know, like I said before, I always thought he deserved a shot at being a head coach. I'm not sure a head coach and defensive coordinator in the middle of a season was necessarily the greatest opportunity. But it's just, I don't know. The guys do get along. They work hard. They're still in it. I mean, they're still playing to the whistle. It's just they make boneheaded mistakes, and they'll say this. They shoot themselves in the foot, and by week 16, 17, you can't be doing that.
All right, so they get along. So on the personal side of things, it doesn't seem to be big issues. But what about the presence of Rodgers? I mean, the last couple of weeks, the offense has kind of turned it around a little bit, and you've seen maybe more performance representative of what we expected all season long. But you've outlined the talent that they have, the young talent specifically, the Garrett Wilsons, the Breece Hall, so on and so forth. The presence of Rodgers, his career, him being almost larger than life in some aspects, you sense guys like Breece or Garrett or some of the other younger players who have not been around a big-time veteran quarterback the last few years or one as established as Rodgers, did they maybe play tight, feel the pressure of trying to live up to the expectations, not wanting to disappoint a future Hall of Famer who obviously has kind of parachuted in here and was supposed to be the savior?
Yeah, I actually do. I think that's a really good description of it because, here's, you know, I got to watch Peyton Manning for 4 years, you would think. And it was unbelievable. And Aaron Rodgers has been in this league for 20 years. And let's be realistic. You and I, and we all know, the generations are different. Athletes are different than when they first came in to now. I'm not saying they're bad. I'm not saying it's worse. I'm saying it's different. Aaron Rodgers is a guy who likes it exactly the way he wants it. He's proven himself. He's a four-time MVP. He knows what he's doing. And I think some of the guys aren't used to this, aren't used to a guy who is so meticulous and so, this is how it has to be. This is how you do it. Because I've done it before. I've won this way. And I think it's more like, I mean, I don't know if I'm just making the same. Like, it's a father figure. Like, wait a second. I'm disappointing dad. You know what I'm saying? Like, yeah. I can't do it. I can't do everything right. I can't do it right. I have to do it. And then it kind of just works up and works up. And it just has been working out that way. And again, Rodgers likes it his way. This new generation likes it their way. So coming together, I'm not sure if the ways are exactly the way it's through parallel lines and they're not intersecting.
So building off that, as we come to the end of this season, and, you know, Rodgers this week has been adamant, hey, I'm going to play. I know he's been full practice the last couple of days, even though he's got the knee injury. Everything you just described, meticulous, trying to, you know, build the culture the right way, so on and so forth, showing the young guys how it's supposed to be done. But you've also got this awkward dynamic now of his future being in question, whether it's his relationship with Woody, not knowing who the next GM and the head coach is going to be. How do you think that dynamic plays out the rest of the way and into the offseason where he's still trying to be that leader type A guy, but everyone in the locker room has to know right now it's unsure whether he's going to be here next year or not. Like, that's got to be sort of an awkward, tricky dynamic down the stretch here, no?
Yeah, you want to tell me you let me know how to work that one out and you have solved the key. I don't know what's going to happen because here's the deal. Rodgers deserves the right to play the last two games. You know what I'm saying? And another question, who's going to be their quarterback next year?
Yeah.
Who replaces them? So, well, like you said, there's this tricky dynamic of, okay, is Rodgers coming back? Is he not coming back? Is he going to retire? Is he going to be with a different team? Do the Jets even want him back? And these younger guys are like, wait a second, this didn't work this year. So what do you want me to do now?
Let me ask you this, Janae Coakley, SNY with us. On that, and I know CeeLo's talked about, you know, the knee that's kind of flared up here the last week or so. Could you, watching him from afar, it didn't seem like he was himself early on. And the last month, he seems like, again, I don't know if he's injured or not, but he looks more and more like himself. He's moving around more. He's been more elusive. He's running more. And it seems more like that 99-yard drive on Sunday was phenomenal. Is it fair to say that we're I know it's been 2 years in the making, but this is actually what he still is? And if that is the case, why wouldn't you bring him back for another year? If in fact that's the Rodgers that you're going to get.
I mean, I can definitely tell you he was definitely injured earlier this season. I mean, he had a hamstring injury that I heard was pretty bad, knee, ankle. And again, he's 41, just turned 41 December, 2nd?
Yep.
And coming off an Achilles, that's got to get used to that, has to be able to play with that. So the first couple of weeks of the season, I think that happened. Then he got hurt. And then, like you said, we finally got to see what he is. But Aaron Rodgers comes with a lot, as we all know. And I'm not, do the Jets want that back with them? Do they want all of every Tuesday talking, the camera? I'm not sure. Do the younger guys want that? I don't know. But like you said, we've seen glimmers. And this is what used to be, that 99-yard drive. Can you imagine this offense? And if you look at his numbers are very productive.
Yep.
For a New York Jets quarterback. I mean, he's on pace, I think, to break a record if he gets, 400 and some yards, the Jets record. So the numbers are productive. He has put up numbers. So I think that what has to weigh the good and the bad. And don't forget, a new GM's coming in, a new coach is coming in. Is a new GM and a new coach going to want him back?
Well, so here's the, all right, so this would be my follow-up to that. How do you sell the fan base on, if you're not, they're two with the four wins, and let's say, even say they get one more, not that I expect them to win Sunday, but if they win four or five games, they're not going to be in line to get one of the top quarterbacks. Perhaps they draft one in the second, third round, who knows? How do you sell the fan base then on a quarterback that you might draft that's not ready, and then going and getting another veteran just to plug in for a year, knowing it's not going to be a good year when you had Aaron Rodgers? I just don't know how you sell that to the fans.
Well, you sell the coach, you sell the culture, you sell. If you get a good coach in, if you get a Mike Vrabel, if you get, you know, Ben Johnson, Aaron Glenn, you get a coach that's going to change. I mean, look at some of these teams. Look at what Washington, D.C. did. Washington did, the Commander. Granted, they got Jaden McDaniels with Key. Listen, they have the talent. You got the Brees still under contract. You have Garrett's under contract. You have on defense Jermaine Johnson, Sauce, you know, Michael Carter, Jamian Sherwood is sold in, Quincy Williams, you have, you know, Quinnen Williams. You have pieces. It's not as if it's a rebuild and start from scratch. And bless the Jets fans' hearts, they just love their team. They hate them, but they love them too. So I think you're just one piece away, like we always, I feel like I've been saying this for like 3 or 4 years. Like, Aaron Rodgers is supposed to be that piece. And who's to say, like you said, one season off where he's not rehabbing, he's not fixing his Achilles, he's used to the offense. Granted, there'll be a new offense coming in. So, I don't know. You just got to sell hope and optimism, and you get a good coach in, I think you can sell it. Like, a Mike Vrabel, how excited would you be to get a Mike Vrabel in here? Look
what
he did.
That's true. All right, so let's play the hypothetical game. Let's go on the assumption Rodgers is back. Let's play that game for a second. He's back. That likely means Devontae Adams is back as well. We understand what their relationship and dynamic and chemistry and connection is. And he's been productive since he's gotten here, but it's also led to, maybe not directly related, but some outwardly frustrated moments for Garrett Wilson along the way. We see that on TV. We can only listen to what he says into a microphone. You spend more time around him. Talk to me about what's going on in Garrett Wilson's head right now for this season, and if Rodgers and Adams are back as a duo next year, what's the trickle-down effect, and how do you think that works for Garrett?
Well, listen, you got to find a way to feed Garrett Wilson. He is a talent. I mean, he's a young, up-and-coming talent that needs to be fed. I mean, before the beginning of the season, he was the most targeted player, I think, in the NFL. And now he has 7 targets, and a lot of those came in the final drive and garbage time early last game. They've got to find a way to feed Garrett Wilson. And, yes, I understand Devontae and Rodgers have a connection, and he's got 499, and Devontae caught the 200 and 400th pass, and they want him to catch five. But it doesn't matter. You got to win games, and you got to figure out how to get this young star in here, or else you're going to lose Garrett. Because, like you said, he's confused. Like he says in the interviews, he doesn't know why he's not being fed the ball more. So, I mean, they say all the right things, Aaron, and the offensive coordinator and all that stuff. But if I'm the new GM and the new head coach, I'm finding a way to make him happy because he's your future, and he's a foundational piece that you need.
All right, last one for me, Janae Coakley from SNY on the Jets. I was there when Favre came in for the 1 year. I was covering the team that year. I was there covering the team when Rex came in, and then I departed. But what I did sense around the organization when Rex came in, it really felt like a fresh start. And I was there for that press conference, and he was speaking authoritatively, and we're going to get this team and that team. And it was such a great feeling around the organization. What do you think, once this season ends, how fast do you think they move? And what do you think it's like around the building once the season's over? It's almost like a sense of relief, excitement. What do you think?
I think a little bit of everything. Like, oh, here we go again. Like, oh, my gosh, we can do this. I think they're going to take their time. They really are vetting everybody. They're not going to jump in and just get the next shiny new piece. I think they're really Mike Tannenbaum's in charge of helping, you know, the search. I think they're just going to take their time and get the best guy. Here's the deal. You guys have been part of New York media. You've been part of New York. You need to have a coach who understands the New York market. And you have to understand that you just can't come in and change the culture. You're not going to change it. You have to figure out, understand. I think that's why Aaron Glenn, I think, might be a great guy to look into, because he's played in New York. He understands New York. He gets New York. and he's been part of a culture change in Detroit. So I think the Jets are really taking their time. I think they're going to do their due diligence, do their homework. I don't know if they'll hire a coach and then a GM, if they'll hire a GM first. I think they're trying to figure out that right now. But I think it's, okay, this has been a really tough year. And like I said, this has been one of the toughest years I've covered just because of all the hype and all the excitement and all the letdown. I mean, if someone would have told me they would have won 4 games this season, I would have been, nah, not this year, guys. I get the years past, but not this year. This year, they can break that playoff hope.
All right, Janae, I've saved the real hard-hitting stuff for the end here. And Janae and I bonded when I was covering the Jets on the beat because we're both Quinnipiac alum, which is awesome. So, yeah, exactly. Though, you know, you were Braves, I was Bobcats, not to out chair or anything like that. We've discussed that as well. So it's been, I think, 7 or 8 years for me. I've got to know, you're on the way to the facility on a Friday morning. Are we still doing Pizza Fridays in Florham Park for the media?
Oh, CeeLo, no. The Jets food... top notch.
Wow.
We get like from the cafeteria, great food. They win, if they win the Super Bowl every year when it comes to the food that they serve us. It is fabulous. I mean, we get like crab cake sometimes and salmon. Their soup is phenomenal.
I remember the food being good on Wednesdays and Thursdays, but Friday was usually reserved for pizza. So now they're going gourmet for the entire week. That's impressive. I give them credit for that.
Yeah, I'm telling you, it's fantastic, let me tell you. And just so you know, CeeLo, I was a Quinnipiac Brave, and then I switched over my junior, senior year to a Bobcat.
Oh, you got both? Okay, I had forgotten that, so there you go.
I was a college, then a university. I got a little bit of both.
You got the best of both worlds. Excellent. Well, we appreciate you joining us in the midst of your Friday morning commute today. So safe travels to Florham Park. Safe travels to Orchard Park in Buffalo this weekend. And we appreciate it. And great job all year long covering another dumpster fire that has been the Jets season, Janae.
Hey, there's always next year, right, guys? Always next year.
Exactly. There's always next year. We're running out of next year's, Janae. Thank you.
Jets lose 19-9. We went through the specifics of it, but after the game, I played in the first hour. Garrett Wilson, kind of at a loss for words when talking about why he wasn't as involved. And here's another clip from Garrett Wilson. Basically, said he felt like he could have gotten more targets early on.
I take a lot of pride in being open, running routes, finding the area in the zone, the spot in the zone, knowing what's going to come on certain downs, and put my best foot forward, and then. See how it plays out. That's all I can really do. That's all I can do.
Yeah, so he also posted on Instagram a story basically just saying why I'm not good with the 5-yard. Like, you think I'm cool with this 5-yard catch?
And I saw that.
Take it to the crib.
I think people have been critical that when he gets the ball in his hands, he does a lot of dancing.
Yeah.
And I think his point was like, I'm trying to bust a big play instead of just, catch it and go down.
The only thing that's interesting about this is you're talking about more targets early in the games. That's what you just said, correct?
Correct.
So their first drive, and this is where, is he being selfish or is it about winning? Their first drive is 14 plays, 99 yards, resulted in a touchdown. I wouldn't give a damn if I was targeted or not. We just went down the field and went 99 yards and scored. Mm-hmm. Okay. The next drive ended, the fourth down play, fine. The drive after that is 15 plays that took 9 minutes. Now it was a field goal. I get it. It wasn't a touchdown. Like, those are your first half possessions. Like, that's it. Those are the three possessions you had. So you're worried about your targets in the first half when you had two of the longest sustained drives of the season of any team this league has seen this year that resulted in, should have been maybe 14 points. They got 9, should have been 10. They missed the extra point. But you got points on two of them. You had the lead and were worried about early game targets. So is it about me or is it about succeeding because they were succeeding when he wasn't getting the targets in the first half?
Yeah, I mean, I get it. And he doesn't strike me as not a team guy.
I'm not saying he is.
I think lot of his frustration is because they've done a lot of losing since he's been here. I think also he's being asked the questions because I know people that covered the team were making the point throughout the game that he doesn't seem involved in what they're doing. And right, but ultimately, they scored 9, should have been 10 fine. Points. Like, that leads you to believe that there's room for more offensively.
I'm going by what he just said about early game targets. Well, that wasn't an issue for them. They didn't need to be jamming the ball down his throat because they had 2 drives that took up almost 20 minutes of game action. Yes, could have resulted in 14 points instead of 9. But for God's sakes, the offense was humming along pretty good in that first half. Now, you want to make the case in the second half when we couldn't get out of our own way? Fair. But even that first drive of the third quarter was 15 plays that ended up on the fourth down play where they didn't score.
This is pure speculation of me just trying to read the room, read the tea leaves. I'd imagine that it's been a little difficult for him since Devonta Adams has come aboard.
Absolutely.
And we all talked about
that. That's exactly
what
it is.
And look, I get that. That's Rodgers' guy. Fine. You know, they were trying to fix it on the fly. We don't have to go through all of that again. But here's a young ascending wide receiver who feels like he wants to be part of the solution and the answer here. And I think he's feeling like I'm kind of becoming a little bit more of an afterthought in this offense as long as Aaron Rodgers is here. Whether he's right or wrong, I mean, that's, we could debate that.
Well, it's either Rodgers or Adams or both.
Yeah, I think he's not really sure where he stands right now with this team and this organization.
Let me ask
especially
you this.
As the longer this goes and all of a sudden, oh, we got to give him a contract extension, you know, there's question marks
prior
about that.
Prior to Devonta Adams, and I don't know the answer, I'm asking you, would you say that he did not have the most targets on this team? And I don't know the answer to that.
I'm sure he did.
Right, so that if so, that would answer your question. That not an afterthought, but all of a sudden you become 1A or receiver 2. Because and that was a conversation we had when Devonta Adams was brought here, and he was asked those questions about
it. I think it's a different conversation.
There you go.
Okay, I think it's a different conversation had they won more games this year. I think that's really what this comes down to. He sees a team that's now 4-11 and feels like there's more meat on the bone.
And did I just see that graphic right on CBS Sports Network?
4th in targets.
In the NFL?
Yes. Well, we just said Malik Nabers is first in targets in the NFL. So
I know, but we're not talking about Malik Nabers not being happy with the amount of
crappy teams that are playing from behind and having to throw the football a lot.
Yeah,
that's part of it as well.
I think with what CeeLo was alluding to, it's the fact that since Adams has gotten here, he has been clear cut, not even 1A. He's been number 2 and even at times number 3
Mike,
with what they...
turn your mic on and talk.
Well, because, Jerry, they were giving you the bad teams thing. CeeDee Lamb is 2. Cowboys are not great, but close to 500. And Ja'Marr Chase is 3rd.
Okay.
So that's another team, 1 game under 500.
I mean, look, I don't want to make it sound... I mean, yesterday maybe is the outlier. And like Jerry said, there were some long drives, not a ton of possessions. Like, I mean, he's still... The targets are what they are. And I'm looking at his game log here. I mean, there's been plenty of them. I think he just... It's even less about targets, but feeling like he should be making more of an impact game to game. And some of that is
because
his responsibility.
The guy.
Well, and again, I think it's going to next year as well. If Rodgers and Devonta Adams are coming back, is Garrett Wilson going to sit through then an entire 17-game season where he is clear-cut number 2 because Rodgers' buddy is the only guy that he feels quote-unquote comfortable with? Oh, I can't throw... Mike Williams ran the wrong... I can't throw him the ball anymore. I can't throw the ball to anybody except for Devonta Adams and Alan Lazard because nobody understands my brain and what I want to do when Rodgers has sucked this year. He has been the problem. Aaron Rodgers has not played well enough. So then guys like Garrett Wilson now have to complain about not getting targets because he doesn't have that chemistry.
He's got the 4th most in the NFL.
Yeah, but a lot
the
of...
The 4th most.
Well, he should be getting more.
Oh, my God.
He's as good, if not better, of a receiver.
Based on what? Everybody talks about Garrett Wilson being the next Jerry Rice. Based on what exactly? Please tell me. I'd love to know.
Some of the catches he's made in double coverage, that absurd touchdown catch he had in the first game last year against the Bills. A lot with Zach Wilson throwing him the football.
I got a little secret for you. A lot of these guys in the NFL can make really great catches in double coverage.
All right.
It's true.
I hear you. I get your point. You're not wrong. But I will go back to what Aaron Rodgers wanted to tell everybody about Garrett Wilson since he's gotten here. Really special. Think he could be a guy.
So the
he
same
could be
thing
the
about
next,
Breece Hall.
Could be the next guy like a Devonta Adams, and now Adams is here.
Guys, I'm not saying he's not a good receiver. What I'm saying is this notion that he's not getting the ball thrown to him enough. What do you want him to do yesterday? They had 2 unbelievable drives. I mean,
I can't get excited about a game
in which they
scored 9
It is what it is. They're not good.
That 4th down play, Rodgers threw it one-on-one with Devonta Adams, and it got tipped away. I forget, it was Kobe Durant, I think, is the Rams' corner. One-on-one, I don't know, maybe look Garrett Wilson's way.
Let me say it to you this way, Jerry, and again, it's 1 game. I don't want to make too much out of 1 game. So yesterday, hey, Adams had the touchdown. Hey, 7 catches, 68 yards and a score. Rodgers throwing to Adams yesterday was 7 of 13 for 68 yards. I mean, is that...
Not great.
Okay. Throwing to Garrett Wilson, 6 of 7, 54 yards. Now, a lot of it was late, fine, window dressing, but it's just like Adams is here. He's drawing a lot of attention, but it's not like last week, different story. They killed it against Jacksonville. He had multiple huge plays. But yesterday, it did feel like, especially after he threw the touchdown to get to 499 for his career, Rodgers, it almost felt like he wanted to force it to Adams the rest of the way.
Yep, for 500.
Maybe I'm looking into things, and that's overstating.
You could be very right. You could be very right.
And to go back to something I said earlier, and this is just my sense, I don't think a lot of these guys like Aaron Rodgers. So I think Garrett Wilson is extremely frustrated that he went from Zach Wilson to, hey, Rodgers is coming in, future Hall of Famer, this is going to be great, and here we are with the same crap and nonsense. They stink. They're a losing football team. They're not winning games. And he's frustrated.
Evan on his way to North Carolina. I'm sure, though, Sean Manaea did sign last night. We're going to talk about him in a little bit. I did see a RICO was taped at 2 a.m., which would have been when Evan was in the car going to North Carolina.
He did not tape a RICO.
This is the RICO Brodna podcast.
Driving with his family sleeping in the back of the car. There's no way he did
it. Tiki, my little elves who listen, tell me that while his family slept, he had Pete Hoffman wake up from a cool night's slumber and record a RICO to talk about Sean Manaea signing.
I'm a loser.
That's fact.
So Evan, in a Red Roof Inn parking lot, recorded a RICO Brogna podcast. Is that what you're saying to me right now on his way down to North Carolina?
That is what my elves are telling me.
I would almost feel better for his family if he just would have done it while he was driving.
Why couldn't he just do it when he got to North Carolina? I know we're trying to break down Evan's brain, but why wouldn't he just wait till he gets to North Carolina, fire up the podcast, let Pete Hoffman sleep for once, and then just do it then?
Exactly. And, I'll tell you that I didn't even tape my one Giant step till this morning. He beat me on Manaea, and the Giants lost at 4 o'clock yesterday. So, there you have it. Evan on vacation. We'll see him again Thursday. Ho, ho, ho! The Elves will keep watching the Roberts family all the way down to North Carolina.
No, we'll see him next Thursday.
That's right. That's right. Next to Santa's calendar is all out of whack. Okay. Yesterday, the Jets lose to the Rams. We've been talking about this throughout the first hour of the show. Still your Giant calls off 888-808-1019. But after the game, Garrett Wilson, who, by the way, is fourth in the league in targets, keep this in mind, was not happy, basically, at his usage yesterday. And upon further review, if you go back and really watch it, Aaron Rodgers is so super locked into Devontae Adams, with the thought being, and this was mentioned on the broadcast, Aaron Rodgers chasing his 500th touchdown pass, he wants Devontae Adams to catch that 500th touchdown pass. And basically every play that was near the end zone would tell you that. But Garrett Wilson, who, remember before we left, Tiki, for the weekend, basically had a weird answer to his long-term future where he saved himself.
Yes, that's
after
right.
First saying, like, I don't know.
Yes.
So let's take a listen to what Garrett Wilson had to say post-game about his thoughts on his usage.
You were not involved much until late in the fourth quarter. Why was it?
I don't know, to be honest with you, man. I don't know. I just got to go out and put my best foot forward and hope that things fall my way. You know, I would love to be involved, love to make an impact on the game, but people see it differently than, you know, that's out of my control. So just try and do what I can do.
We'll go to our resident athlete, Tiki Barber. Tiki, watching the film and hearing Garrett Wilson.
Two targets in the first quarter, one in the third. And then not until the end of the fourth quarter. 4 minutes and 26 seconds remaining in the fourth quarter. So basically three targets he had. Not catches, three targets Garrett Wilson had for the majority of this game. Three targets.
So you think he has a gripe?
He does, but he didn't gripe. He just, he again worked his way into the right answer.
But you could tell.
Of course.
That read between the lines. Of course. He's pissed off. I interpret.
But he doesn't want to be pissed. So this is where I give Garrett Wilson credit.
Okay.
He doesn't want to be pissed off. He doesn't want to just scream and yell and play the wide receiver diva that we're all used to. Right? Give me the damn ball. I don't know why this is complicated. I'm one of the great receivers in football.
Right.
Been all pro. Just give me the ball. Like, in his mind, he's saying that. But he fortunately, for the sanity of Jet fans and the sanity of media, has the proper filter to keep him from saying what he wants to say. You can hear it.
Yeah.
Right? It's the same thing we listened to last week. It's the same thing on that question. He could have said, I don't know, I should be more involved. I had two catches in the first 3.5 quarters. Right?
Which is the genius of it. He told us without telling us.
Exactly right.
Which tells me.
Which is good. Which is good on his part.
I interpret it as, look, you guys are out there seeing it. Aaron's got his boy on the team. It's mm-hmm. the end of the year. I'm going to help out when I can. All I can do is run my routes.
Yeah.
But this is, I'm not in the clique that Aaron Rodgers
It's almost like they're pushing him away. Not intentionally.
Well, great. That's my next point. If you have to make a decision at the end of the year, if you're the New York Jets, and then you're bringing a new regime, I am so pro the future of Garrett Wilson over one more year of Aaron Rodgers and Devontae Adams. It's not even fun.
Well, the thing is, I kind of want both those guys.
Well,
you
okay.
You just need someone to I don't know, live by what's given as opposed to what he wants to happen. And I'm talking about Aaron, obviously.
Right.
And for the most part of his career, you could trust Aaron was going to do the right thing. You just knew he was.
Yeah.
Like, you didn't even question it. You didn't even think about it. When he'd get up at the line of scrimmage and he'd check out of a play or give an easy, because that's what we would do to get into something completely different than what we called in the hustle. You get up there and say, easy, easy. So don't get caught up on what we called the huddle. We're going to reset. We're going to do something else. I always trusted Aaron Rodgers to do that because he was always successful doing it. And it was one of those things you'd marvel at his acumen, his domination of the defense. And most of that was in the mind, and then physically he could do it. It's still in the mind. It's just physically the same thing is not happening.
Yeah, it's insane. I feel so bad for Garrett Wilson, but Jeff Ulbrich this morning commented on Garrett Wilson's thoughts. Here we go.
Jeff, we asked you yesterday about Garrett, and you said, you know, you got to look at the film. Like, when you went back and looked, did you see that there were more opportunities for him to get the ball?
Yeah, at the end of the day, we got to find ways to get Garrett the ball more often. He's one of the best players on our team, if not one of the best players in this league, especially at his position. So the progression, you know, for a lot of different reasons from a coverage standpoint took him off Garrett. But at the same time, we got to find ways to get him the ball for sure.
Captain Obvious, Jeff.
It's just too hard to dig into the minutiae of the game, but I don't think that was actually the case.
No.
I don't think the coverages took Aaron Rodgers off of Garrett Wilson.
So the way I look at this, and maybe I'm crazy, I think Aaron's kind of coaching his own game out there right now offensively, and Jeff Ulbrich knows it. And
yeah.
Jeff Ulbrich kind of, unfortunately
What can he say?
Look, and this is what happens. At a broken season with an interim coach and a couple weeks left, I just don't think that Aaron Rodgers is respecting Jeff Ulbrich right now, and I think Ulbrich knows it, and he can't go and tell the world that.
And what would Jeff say? He's a defensive coach.
Of course.
He was a defensive coordinator for, like, that first half of the season. It's not like he's ever had any input on offense.
You know what that sounded like when you're in school and your teacher calls on you and you don't have the right answer?
Yeah.
You just say a bunch of words to me, and then at the end you go, you know what? Came out all right. Yeah, I think I did all right there.
That's
okay.
Good.
Exactly.
This whole Garrett Wilson, Aaron Rodgers, Devontae Adams situation is literally the plot to Mean Girls. Lindsay Lohan is Garrett Wilson.
I've never seen Mean Girls.
Oh, dude, it's a great movie. Rachel McAdams is Aaron Rodgers. Yes.
Oh, no, you can't get on your wife for not seeing Die Hard, and you've never seen
this. Was peak Lindsay Lohan. Shout out, Long Island. This was peak Lindsay Lohan. That's what this reminds me of. Like the Tina Fey characters, Jeff Ulbrich. I mean, is this high school?
No, I think that's
this
a great
is grown men, and we're talking about cliques.
Now, here's really what I have the problem with the cliques. Is you hear Garrett Wilson say that postgame, you hear Ulbrich say this stuff this morning, but how about the gall and the nerve of Aaron Rodgers postgame?
Keeping the team positive after, you know, a tough loss like this, not necessarily go your way.
I don't know I think we're kind of past the keeping the positive thing. I think it's just about perspective. You know, your perspective informs your truth, and your truth makes your reality. So the reality situation is what it is. But your perspective is something you can change every single day. So what you're focusing on is the most important thing now. It's not to change the reality of the situation, being 4-11 out of the playoffs, going into an unknown offseason, but you've got to figure out what it means to be a professional. You know, I think that's an important part of building culture. And the last 2 weeks, we can really see who's on board moving forward and who is ready to get out. it's just part of the game. I've been on a couple teams where we're out of it, and it's interesting to watch the practice habits, the preparation habits. Hopefully we'll do the right thing, and that means a lot because everybody's watching, and it's a who-you-know business. So there'll be interesting conversations in the next couple weeks, but just focus on the relationships that we have with each other and trying to finish this thing out like a pro.
I can't stand up, D. I can't stand. First of all, that whole first 30 seconds was...
he's not wrong, though. What he's saying is right.
He said the same thing four times, but here's the problem.
But what he's saying is right. It's like you can't change anything.
But the idea, first of all, he basically tells you at the end it's about the relationships and everything with Devonta Adams. But the idea of calling out, we'll figure out who wants to be or wants not, when you're playing hero ball with your buddy.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? You have other guys out there, Conklin, Wilson, trying.
So let's read between the lines then.
Okay.
So what is this telling us? It's telling us that Aaron, you can hear by the answer, it's about the guys who want to be here,
right,
going forward, et cetera, et cetera. That's an issue. It's existing in this team. We don't know who it is. He's not calling anybody out specifically, and he shouldn't, right? Because as a teammate, you don't do that.
Right.
But it clearly is happening. The guys aren't at the right level, preparation-wise, et cetera. And Aaron, as a result, because he's Aaron, doesn't trust them.
Definitely not.
And so if you're Aaron Rodgers, there's one guy that you know from being in battle and in good times with Devonta Adams that you can trust. So,
okay,
like in some regard, I get why he would be this way. You know what I mean? Because you get a young team. Because the Jets are young. You get a young, Brees is young, Garrett Wilson's young, even Conklin's somewhat young. You got a young team. Some of these guys, I'm not saying any of them are doing that. I'm just saying it's easy for young players to be like, all right, whatever. Got two more games. Let's get out of here. Devonta Adams isn't doing that.
Okay, but then
so he trusts Devonta Adams to be on this on the right level.
But if you really cared about the direction and the who wants to be here about the team and the 4-10 and you've seen the guys open and this, that, and the other, I understand that he trusts Devonta Adams. I understand that that's where a circle of trust goes. How are these guys supposed to take their cue that this is how you be a professional, this is how you football, if you basically tune them out and decide you're going to play one-on-one football with your friend? Like, it's like a chicken and egg thing here, TJ.
No, it is. And there's no right answer.
You're the one mentally taking these guys out of the game by them saying, what the hell do I keep running these routes for?
Right. And if you're Devonta, if you're a Garrett Wilson, that's where I can see him being really frustrated.
And if you're the Jets, man, look, we keep talking about the talent, right? How could they be this bad with talent? Garrett Wilson is one of those guys that should be here long-term that is a talent building block.
Yeah.
Don't piss me off, Art. That's what it feels like from Christmas vacation. I would be very, very worried about the future of the Jets, where the Garrett Wilson truly wants to be here if Aaron Rodgers is back. Right. You see the tea leaves.
You're right.
You see the tea leaves.
And he hasn't said as such, but it kind of feels like he's alluded to it.
888-808-1019. Artie in Brooklyn. Artie, what's up?
Yeah, well, I mean, I'm going back and forth about this Rodgers thing, because now, all this time I wanted him back. Now I hear you talking. I say, yeah, these guys are right, especially when you're telling me that, Garrett's open across the middle and Rodgers is staring down Adams. But here's the thing. If Adam does catch that ball in the end zone, right, we're winning.
Right.
We're winning. And does Garrett sound like, look, we won, but I still want the ball? I mean, no, I'm getting tired of this. Guys, just play your contract out, and that's it. You have to, go for the money. Does he want the ball because he feels like he contributed?
But Artie,
want the ball because he's worried about his damn naked contract?
Artie, no, I don't think it's about the contract, Artie. Appreciate you, Artie, and Merry Christmas, dude. But I think that if you're losing, especially the way that the Jets are, and you're one of the great players on the team, and you feel marginalized, not that he is, but you feel marginalized, that pisses you off.
Of course.
Like, if your team is losing and you'd feel like you should be doing more, but it's not within your control to do more, I'd be upset.
Yeah. And also, Devonta Adams didn't catch that ball. The Jets lost the game, and thus Garrett Wilson sounded like that, which, as you pointed out, was still saying something without saying anything.
Yeah.
Who knows what he says if the Jets win the game? Maybe he doesn't have that tone. Well, and says
they win. I think these guys are team players. They don't feel selfish to me, because you would have heard it already,
right?
It's not like these guys are. It's all about me. Damn if we win or lose. That's not what this feels like. it feels like I'm good enough to help this team win. Why am I not helping this team win?
Yeah.
Why am I not being given the chance to help this team win? And so the Jets are in a weird spot because Aaron doesn't know all these guys well enough to know who's really giving it all, who's not. And there's one guy that he trusts. And we know that is Davante Adams. He's been with him so many years.
Yeah.
And obviously
got him back here. And Clearly they want to continue to play together.
100%.
Clearly.
And so in some ways they're trying to prove that.
Yeah. That's what I'm telling you. They auditioned as a team yesterday. Aaron Rodgers said, I don't know what the future of the Jets is. Maybe it is us two back here, but I want to play with you, Devontae. Let's get our 500 touchdown together here and let's go and audition.
It's interesting because I still think it's their best option.
Well, it might be Aaron's only option.
Well, yeah, probably.
Devontae will have more options.
Yeah, but he's still under contract. So you'd have to get creative if you wanted to move on. But, I mean, you can do it. But I still think that he gives you your best option, Aaron Rodgers. As much as it's frustrating, and this game was frustrating.
Clearly.
But I think he's still the best option for the Jets going forward, even if it's in a mentor bridge phase. Because he said he'll do that. And by the way, that doesn't mean that he's just going to play pass. He's going to be Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah.
He's just going to be more attentive to whoever the young kid is.
And look, and we talked about this at the top of the show, right? There are 9 teams with 4 wins or less.
Mm-hmm.
Had the Jets lost that game a couple weeks ago, they actually, by strength of schedule, would be all the way up to the 2nd pick overall right now. That came out yesterday, yes. So what was the game they won 2 weeks ago? What game am I forgetting now? They won, what the hell?
Oh,
was
Houston.
Game? Not Houston. That was Halloween. The game they won since.
Jags.
The Jaguar game.
Oh, yes.
Had they
last
lost,
week. That was last week.
Yeah, had they lost to the Jaguars, they would have been picking 2nd overall after yesterday. So though I say that to say the mentor thing sounds nice. Aaron Rodgers is probably their best option because it's a 2 quarterback draft.
It's true.
So now, could they mentor in the second round or something?
Yeah. I can't have Aaron Rodgers trying to lose. He's never going to do that.
I'm not telling you you should have, but my point is, you know, the mentor situation may never even happen next year because you may not even...
You may not get a quarterback.
Exactly. Right. Now, unless Jordan Travis rehabs and recovers well and it's a different camp, maybe. We'll see. 888-808-1019.